Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang podcast, episode 208 for Saturday, the 16th of March, 2013. I'm Tim Elliott, and I'm on with Graham Thickens.
Good morning from late winter that should be early spring.
And Phil Wilson.
Good morning. Hi, Tim. Just right across town.
Hey, good morning. And Julio Ojeda Zapata.
Good morning, gentlemen.
And I have to say that Steve, again, is off on family business, and we wish him well. He'll be back on when he can, but we have Julio here in that fourth spot to talk about the week's news in consumer electronics and what's going on here in town. And we'll start off with what we talked about, Graham and I, last week, which was the overnight website challenge. That was quite an experience, fourth year for me, and I have to tell you that every year it gets tougher and tougher to bounce back from that.
I don't know how you do it. I mean, I know how 20-something guys can do it on Red Bull and five-hour energy drink, but, you know, yeah, I don't know, but last I checked, I don't think you're 20-something.
No. This one really kicked my butt, I have to say, more than normal, and I decided that because I had to present early in the morning that I would take a couple of hours worth of sleep, and that was not a good idea.
Oh, no.
I should have just stayed up. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Because you come back at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're this worthless until about 6:30.
Oh, man.
But we made it through, and the site looks good. We're just finishing up the last touches. Of course, the Nerdery gives us until the 2nd of April, or the 1st of April, to launch them, and all the awards won't happen until the 2nd. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. So, again, it was a great experience. I'll probably do it again next year if there'll be enough WordPress folks crazy enough to join me.
If it's all humanly possible for you.
That's right. That's right.
So tell me this is this waiting until after the 1st of April? Is that new this year?
It is. And I think what they've done is that, you know, all the ones that we've participated in, we've launched within a couple of weeks. But that's not typical, I think, of some of the other teams. And some of them never get launched. So what they're trying to do, I think, is to make sure that they get as many done and on the internet as possible. So they're giving us a couple of weeks to do that, which I think is great. Because, you know, we got the site done, but it's missing things like the footer, which we took out at the last minute because it messed up the responsive design. So we're adding that back in, finishing up a little bit on the navigation. There's some content stuff that the nonprofit, we did Motorcycle Dial-A-Ride, so they're working with us on that to finish up the content. You know, we're pretty much good to go. I think we're going to launch next week sometime after all those items are done. So so one of the things that they give us is more points at the final. So I think that to actually win anything, including the People's Choice, which is on Facebook, and we'll have a link in the show notes, you really need to have your site launched by the first.
Yeah, and I was going to say, isn't the reason some of the sites in the past haven't been launched is because the nonprofit doesn't really get their act together with content?
Well, that's part of it. Yeah. There's some complexity with hosting sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, hosting has always been included. It used to be Visi, now it's IP House, and they've been very generous in you know, putting affordable hosting out for the nonprofit. So really there's no good reason to not have the site get out there by the first, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, they're doing another event, right, Tim, for is that what they're doing on April 2nd? Or?
Correct. Yeah, at the Nerdery, they're going to have another event where all the teams are invited back and all the nonprofits. And at that point, the six finalists will be announced, and those six finalists will present the sites, you know, everybody, yeah. And then they're going to do the voting for the site that wins there, just like they used to do right after the event itself.
It just, I see.
Your mind is so scrambled that doing, you know, doing that presentation is just.
Oh yeah.
I did it once and it was just horrendously bad. So I think this is a much better way to do it. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go there because I'll be on spring break out of town. So other members of the team will represent our team, and if we are one of the top six, they'll present it.
Cool. Yeah. So what are you doing? Going out to visit one of your college kids?
No. We're actually going down to see the in-laws in Arkansas.
Oh.
Hopefully chasing some warm weather as well. Or warmer weather.
So the overnight website challenge has kind of turned into a month-long website challenge?
Yeah. I think it's like March Madness website challenge. Yeah,
okay. Right. All right.
Yeah.
So why do the overnight thing at all then?
Well, it makes for a good event. I mean, you know. Okay.
I'll tell you why. Because developers like Red Bull.
Yeah.
I've never had a Red Bull in my entire life.
Me neither. I don't plan to.
I don't plan to. Yeah.
It's an experience, let me tell you.
I still think everything should go live in 24 hours. Okay. You get your winner, it's done.
All right. Well,
I said that last year, and now they made it longer, so I'm shutting up. Otherwise,
I don't think they're going to ask you to be a consultant, Phil.
Yeah. I guess not.
Right. Yeah. They're doing the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, do whatever. This is like my wife. Do whatever Phil does. Do the opposite of that.
Well, Julio, you wrote a couple of pieces on both paper and your blog about Imation's new TDK Qi wireless. I guess it's a charging device.
Well, the background for that is Imation recently said it was going to sell off its Extreme Mech and Memorex lines, and I thought that was interesting. But what I thought was more interesting is that they were holding on to their TDK line, and on the face of it, it didn't make a lot of sense because they seemed to be getting out of the consumer electronics space, and yet they were holding on to TDK. So I wanted to learn a little bit more about that, and it seems that TDK is a kind of a labor of love for them. They're investing a lot of energy, partly because the TDK brand is very well known worldwide, and some of their products are really interesting. And the one you're alluding to is the wireless charging cube, which is it's a small speaker unit that has a charging pad on the top. So if you have a phone that is compatible, you just place the phone on top of the device and it charges. And this is all made possible via an emerging wireless charging standard called Qi, which is spelled QI. And I thought that was really interesting, so I just started digging into that a little bit more. And Qi, which is a lot more widespread elsewhere in the world, is starting to emerge here in the United States. Imation has its product. JBL just released this little speaker unit that also has a charging pad on top of it. You can get that via AT&T or Verizon. Energizer is selling charging plates. You can just buy the plate and slap it on your desk, and then you can just drop your phones on it when you get home from work. And I thought this was all interesting, and so I gathered a bunch of these devices, and I have a couple of Qi phones with Qi built in, and it works great. You know, I've been like swapping, you know, mixing and matching all the various devices, and the interoperability is flawless.
How does it differ from other induction charging like as found on the Nexus 4?
Well, I'm still learning about this, but there are two camps, you know, think VHS and what was the
Betamax.
Betamax, VHS or Betamax. You know, there seem to be two camps. My brain isn't working today. There's a company that also makes charging pads and charging plates, and their name I'm forgetting their name at the moment, but they're Energizer's rival. And they're very well known. My brain isn't working today. I can't remember the name of them, but there are two competing standards for this, two competing wireless charging alliances, you know, with various companies sort of grouping together. The Qi camp apparently has a head start. This other one is PowerMat. That's the one I was thinking about, PowerMat. The PowerMat folks are sort of they're lagging behind a little bit, but they're trying to make a run at this. And the whole idea is to create something along the lines of the micro USB standard. You know, every phone other than the iPhone has a micro USB port in it. Mm-hmm. As you know, if you get a phone, it'll work with it, you know, with your other cables and chargers that you have in the house. This is the same idea, to develop a wireless standard that is goes across brands, goes across, you know, phone models, and you just know it's going to work. I'm getting a little bullish on it because in my testing, you know, here in my home office with these various devices, it works really, really well. The other company that's making gear for that is Nokia. If you buy a Lumia phone, you know, the latest Lumias have Qi built in, or with the older Lumias, you can remove the back and add one that has Qi built in. And then Nokia makes this very stylish little flat oval, brightly colored charging plate. You just drop your phone on there and it charges. It works really, really well. I'm very impressed.
But if you got one of the Nokias, you could just get one of these TDK speakers and charge it with that, right?
You put your finger right on it. It's interoperable. If you get a Lumia and you have the wireless charging speaker from Amation, it works. If you get an Energizer, there's an Energizer sleeve that you can put on the iPhone 4 and the iPhone 4S, and you happen to have one of those Nokia plates, it just works. Every piece of gear works with every other piece of gear, which is really cool.
Sounds interesting, but you know, I don't find it that difficult to find a cable and just plug it in. So is it just is a speaker really, really good? So it might be a combined value proposition that makes sense?
You raise a really interesting point. I personally don't know that I would invest any money in this wireless charging stuff because, as you say, I already have my charging cable. But the idea is these people are thinking long-term. They're sort of looking into the near future when most, if not all, phones will have Qi built in. You know, it'll just be a standard. It'll just like the micro USB port, it'll just be in the phone.
Right.
And at that point, and also there's a lot of big talk about building charging into cars. Like there are, you know, if you get into a car and you use you have a dock, you know, built in, set up in your car, it's a little bit of a hassle to like fit the phone into the dock and then fiddle around and find your charging cable and fiddle around and find your audio cable, and it's kind of a hassle. So they're building car docks that have Qi built in. Restaurants and coffee shops are starting to build Qi in.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense than airports.
Airport lounges.
Yeah.
You know, this is all in the early stages, but just imagine a future where you're carrying your Qi-compatible phone around and you're fairly assured that at some point you're going to find a surface you can drop the phone on to charge. That's a very intriguing. We're not there yet. We're a long way from that point. But the thinking is this is just going to become part of the background.
Yeah, I mean, you go into most hotels these days and they have the clock radio that has the old style, you know, Apple connector in, and a lot of people probably use that to charge their iPhones.
Exactly. So. The one fly in the ointment here is the lightning cables on iPhone 5s. Energizer told me they have a sleeve, as I said, for the iPhone 4, but they told me it has turned out to be a huge headache to duplicate that to make sort of lightning work with Qi. It's been kind of a big hassle. So there's nothing like that imminent at this point. So that sort of leaves Apple out of the Qi game for the moment.
Another story that you blogged about, which I found interesting, was this house talent.
Just
social networking.
Just a second here. What I can't figure out is, what does TDK have to do with all this?
Well, you remember back in the day when you made mixtapes with TDK cassettes?
I'm just trying to figure out, you know, that I sometimes look at, Imation for one, and there are others out there that hang on to these brand names because they have such great brand recognition. But TDK has great brand recognition for audio cassettes. Has nothing to do with speakers. Nothing to do with speakers. Has nothing to do with wireless charging. Has nothing to do with batteries. Has nothing to do with any of that. So why put TDK on it? I don't quite understand.
Because that's all they got.
But again, it's not. It's a, you know, brand recognition is only as good as the brand it represents or the product it represents.
But you think about TDK, not, you think about music, and you know this is a charging speaker. You know,
you think about music because you use TDK tapes.
Yeah,
you know, anybody younger than us has no idea what audio tape is or wants to have anything to do with it. So I don't understand. This is the one thing I don't understand about, you know, hanging on to brands. And I know you mentioned Memorex. I think I don't know if it was your blog post, Julio, but I don't think it was. But mentioning Memorex as, you know, audiophiles remember Memorex. No, audiophiles remember Memorex as being crap. Audiophiles remember TDK, but
which may be why Imation sold off Memorex. But if you go on the Imation site, you can still buy TDK audio tapes and videotapes. Those are still available. But what Imation is trying to do is sort of segue into earphones, earbuds, speakers, everything sort of grouped around audio.
But why wouldn't you do that with it? Why wouldn't you do that with a new brand?
I asked that very question, and they told me that if you just say TDK almost anywhere in the world, there's this slight widening of the eye in recognition. Everybody just knows what that is, and that's the win there for them. They want to do all these high end audio products, and they're sort of debating, well, what brand do we affix to them? Their argument is TDK is ideal because everybody knows what it is. And just to be clear, Imation does not own the TDK brand. They're licensing it. And their whole product line is TDK Life on Record. That's kind of their deal. And I think they're on the right track because they're aiming high. All of their products are of high quality. I have a pair of TDK Life on Record earbuds that I've run through the wash 3 times by mistake, and they're still going strong. They're still working perfectly. I'm just amazed.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do is, you know, ride on the brand recognition and brand awareness of TDK, because they obviously can't afford. They don't have the marketing budget to launch a new brand. Although my question would be, what kind of marketing dollars are they going to put behind this new TDK line of products? What are they charging for this charging cube / speaker? What is the price of that thing, by the way?
I'm not remembering off the top of my head, but you have to think slightly high-end. These are slightly somewhat
– hundred bucks maybe, or
– yeah, these are premium products. They have another one, a speaker that competes with Jawbone and all of those guys.
Oh, okay.
But the speaker, you just pick the thing up and you can tell it's of higher quality. It's heavier. You start the thing playing and the audio is louder and vastly better. And it's weatherproof. You can take the sprayer on your kitchen sink and just spray it with water and it's impervious. So they're just shooting for products that have interesting features and that are of higher quality than the run of the mill.
Have they launched their marketing campaign yet? Did you get the idea, or is this still coming? I haven't seen any ads myself, but
well, just to be clear, the TDK Life on Record has been around for a number of years now.
Right, right.
These are just the latest products.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Has Imation launched their marketing campaign to promote these products? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, they have been doing that. If you're asking me whether they're on the verge of launching a brand new marketing campaign, I don't think so. But they have been marketing it up till now.
Yep. So Graham, that wireless speaker MSRP is $349.95.
Oofta. Yeah.
How much did you say?
$349.95.
You better be an audiophile.
and Julio mentioned Bose in the same discussion. Now that's a speaker recognition line. You know,
right.
If you're going to buy a speaker unit of some kind,
and you want to say overpriced,
not TK.
Yeah, true.
And I found that one at CES that looked really cool, and was an audiophile thing, and that was a couple hundred bucks. I told Steve about that one. Can't remember the name of it right now, but yeah, they're going after a higher end customer there for sure. So maybe that's why I haven't seen the ads. But I don't read audiophile books or online sites. So,
but they have a big challenge because the Jawbones and the Boses and so forth have much higher brand name. A lot more people know what those are. So, Imation definitely has a challenge.
Well, they might be going after some of the overseas markets where TDK is more highly regarded than maybe it's in the U.S. You know,
definitely yes.
So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about that social network for home. Is it like
DIY?
DIY, yeah. Home, like.
Yeah, that looks pretty cool.
Transformation. So talk. So I don't get this, Julio. This is for people that are doing home improvement and they like share their before and after pictures.
It goes a little deeper than that. When I heard about this, my first reaction is, dude, what are you smoking? But then literally in the next second, I thought of my wife, who's a very obsessive do-it-yourselfer. I mean, a lot of the home improvements on our all the home improvements really on our property are her idea. You know, she's basically run the show on all of that. I wouldn't have the faintest idea what to do. I'm not allowed near power tools. And so the social network is definitely not for me, but just, I'm thinking about my wife, and she's very obsessive about these projects, and people that are very obsessive about their projects, they want to share, with other people that are obsessed about the same thing. Just like I'm obsessed with Star Trek and I want to share, you know, Star Trek stuff with other Star Trek people. And the idea is, you're obsessed about the stuff, you want to compare notes with other DIY obsessives, compare notes, learn from each other, you know, show off your handiwork, you know, get bragging points. You know, the whole idea is to sort of to build a social network around this area that has very, very passionate people. If you have people who are very passionate about something, there should be a social network for it. Just like people are really obsessed with Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga has her own social network. This is exactly the same idea.
Well, oh, but yeah. How does this stack up against something like Pinterest or even Facebook for doing the same kind of thing?
Because it's very, very focused on this area. And just to be clear, this thing is very much in its early stages. They're still working on it. But the idea is to not be a general purpose dumping ground, like for visual imagery or whatever, but rather to build something that's specifically focused on this people. So the website all the navigation, all the features are specifically focused on this, to the point where if you're not interested in home improvement, this site would be completely worthless to you. If you, however, are like my wife, and you stumble on the site, it's like you've reached the promised land. That's basically the idea.
What I found interesting about it is it came out of his personal passion. One of the co-founders, he and his wife bought a 100-year-old home and got into doing projects themselves. So it starts to sound almost like This Old House, which of course is a huge brand of National Public Television, and is actually one of my favorite shows. I love watching that show. And my first question would be is, has This Old House tried doing a social network? Because if they haven't, you know, this may have a place. But it doesn't exactly have a lot of cachet in its name. House Talent is not exactly the best brand name I've ever heard, but
And if I were these guys, I'd be trying to like create some alliances with HDTV or something like that. I'm sure
there you go. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I personally have a friend who I just met with this week, who's a huge woodworker who lives two doors down from Mr. Elliott, a guy named Paul Mayer, who works at Symantec as a senior product manager. And it's you would be amazed at the amount of woodworking sites and probably social networks that are out there. And I know Paul has become quite a content creator himself. And it sounds like these guys at House Talent are looking for passionate folks that, you know, that do home projects to become contributors, you know, content contributors too. So it's an interesting concept. Sounds like one of the co-founders is a web producer at is it NPR? Yeah, yep. Interesting.
Which is why the site is very well written, and the site design is very clean. A lot of these up and coming sites, they look terrible, but this it has a very inviting design, almost to the point where I want to get in there, even though I have no interest in the content.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think they're onto something, and good for them. All it takes is a passion, you know, and it sounds like they've got it. I mean, that isn't all it takes, but you got to have that piece, you know, to go forward with it.
Absolutely. Yep.
So to get into our mobile segment this week, there's another flagship phone announced, the Galaxy S4 from Samsung this week. But Julio, I wanted to kind of start off by talking about the BlackBerry Z10 that you've been testing.
Yeah, AT&T, shout out to Alex Carey, who's my contact at AT&T, dropped one in my hands unexpectedly. I wasn't expecting to see one until next week. And I wasn't really sure what to expect, and I'm not a BlackBerry user, so I don't really have that BlackBerry passion that a lot of people do. But I was pleasantly surprised. I would describe this phone as a slightly larger iPhone 5. The operating system is very clean. There aren't a lot of surprises there. It's again sort of a Android iOS hybrid, but it has some really nice features. Like if you swipe from the left, you reveal a unified inbox that shows everything, all your text messages, your social media updates, your emails. It's all on a stream there. That's a paradigm that I have not been crazy about in the past, but the BlackBerry implementation is very, very nice, to the point where I've sort of become addicted to just, you know, swiping from the left and seeing, you know, what is new in that stream. But then if you swipe to the left yet again, you can sort of drill down to your various email accounts, your Facebook, your Twitter. My bottom line with this device and the BlackBerry 10 operating system that powers it is of pleasant surprise. I got up and running with this phone painlessly. There wasn't a lot of friction. I became instantly familiar and comfortable with it. The app situation is dire. There is the app choice out there is very poor at the moment. You know, that hopefully will change. But this will be good news for people that have sort of been clinging to their BlackBerries. They haven't wanted to switch to iPhone and Android. I happen to be working on a story about that very thing, about people that are just, even though they have MacBooks and iPods and iPads, they refuse to get iPhones. There are a lot of people like that out there, and this is welcome news for these people because they want to stick with BlackBerry. They want to keep using BlackBerry Messenger, but they want to get rid of their clunky old phones and embrace, you know, something that is modern and cutting edge. And this definitely is it.
So this is not the one with the keyboard, right? This is just the one that's like an iPhone.
Yeah, it's like an iPhone. And, you know, that's an interesting point that all the BlackBerry users I've been interviewing, almost every single one of them say they stick with BlackBerry because of the keyboard. So if BlackBerry had announced the Z10 by itself and not also announced the Q10 with a keyboard, they probably would have had a lynching on their hands.
Yeah.
Is it the government market in particular that seems to be the strength of the, you know, the BlackBerry diehards? I mean, it seems like I've heard that various government agencies are.
Yeah, BlackBerry. You know, BlackBerry has tanked in terms of market share and so forth, but it's a product line that is still very much entrenched in a lot of places. It still has a substantive installed base, and so So this is an important product, not for me. I would never want to, you know, trade in my iPhone for one of these devices. But it's very, very good news for the many, many BlackBerry users that are still out there. Mm-hmm.
So it's for the BlackBerry faithful and not necessarily the rest of the market.
I don't know. I mean, I must admit to being surprised. Like, for instance, when I walk around my kid's school and I see some of the teachers using Windows phones, I say, wow, a Windows phone in the wild. I mean, there are people that will try different phones and they'll make interesting choices. And so I imagine a substance and a number of people will pick one of these up, like it, and go for it, and more power to them because, as I said, it's a solid device, a solid operating system. It's all very nicely executed.
Are the carriers offering it at a kind of a discount to the iPhone and Androids or not?
Well, it's subsidized as most phones are. I haven't heard about an unlocked version being sold, but it's another item for the carriers to add to their portfolios. AT&T is releasing it imminently. I think Verizon is going to start selling it a bit later in the month.
Yeah, T-Mobile is going to start selling it, I think, next week.
Yeah,
something like that. I think I did hear that.
The one I have is from AT&T, and it's working very nicely.
Well, I'll have to keep an eye out for that. Well, the big news this week was the announcement in New York of the Galaxy S4 in a strange off-Broadway-esque unveiling keynote, which some people wrote about. The phone itself, if you get past the gigantic 5-inch screen, looks pretty interesting. You know, like Phil, are you looking to maybe upgrade to one of these things?
No, I'm sticking with the HTC One. You know, I think the Galaxy S4 is a great look at new technology. Seems to be a showcase for a whole lot of new technology. You know, we'll have to see what happens with it all. But 5 inch is just too big. 4.7 is still a little bit too big for me. I'm still thinking 4.3.
So, yeah, I carried a Galaxy S3 for a week and I found it to be too large actually.
I'm curious about that. I don't know. You know, the HTC One is a 4.7, and it's actually just longer, not wider. But I don't know. I'm still not sure I'm going to do that. The HTC is also coming out with another smaller phone, a 4.3, which has some of the same HTC, you know, the One technology in it, but not quite as robust. We'll see what happens.
So what did you think of this announcement?
Well, I fired up the live stream shortly after it started, and I lasted about 10 minutes. I just couldn't take it. So I shut down the live stream and just went to do something, you know, went to wash the dishes or something until the tech blogs, you know, started filing stuff. And from what I've learned about the device, which I haven't personally seen yet, it's somewhat underwhelming. There's nothing terribly revolutionary. There's some nice features like gesturing, where you can gesture without touching the screen. Minnesotans will like the fact that you can use it with any glove, not just a special glove. It has Fitbit like technology built in, you know, for fitness enthusiasts. There's a lot of bells and whistles in there, but it feels like Samsung's just kind of throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall to see what will stick. And none of it. I'm sure Apple was sweating a little bit as this announcement came down the pike, but I think the Apple faithful and Apple itself can sort of rest easy that this is not a torpedo against their bow. And in fact, Apple's stock reacted, you know, positively to this whole thing.
Yeah, up almost 3%. I read a piece where the S4 was a gift to Apple shareholders. it got kind of middling reviews at best.
Well, in defense of Samsung, though, where do you go after the Galaxy S3? I mean,
yeah, that was right. Massive, such a massive success. Tim, you know, you spent some time with that Galaxy. Did you find it kind of feel sort of? It just always feels sort of plasticky to me. It doesn't feel like a very strong phone.
Yeah, it's made out of a special kind of plastic, but it still doesn't feel as substantial as, you know, an iPhone feels or an HTC Android phone feels. The build quality doesn't seem that great, but it's a well put together phone. I mean, it's both
definitely
of my kids
functions well.
Have the Galaxy S3 and they haven't broken them yet. So and it works well for them. So, you know,
yeah,
it's just I think it's
the S4 got criticized because it continues the plastic tradition. And that bothers me a little bit. I think the new HTC phone is made out of metal. I think that's kind of the aesthetic future. I think, you know, plastic is getting a little passe. So that's one minus for the new Galaxy, I think.
Yeah, and where do they go after this? The Galaxy S5, what is it going to be like, 5.3 inches? I mean, it just seems like the phones are getting ridiculously large. You know,
cargo pants.
I mean, why did they
back.
Have to? Why did they have to go to five inches here? I think it's probably because, you know, if you got an S3, they've got to give you some reason besides just a spec bump in the processor. You know.
Well, the Galaxy line of smartphones isn't going to get much larger. I mean, the S4 has a slightly larger screen in terms of inches, but overall, physically, the phone hasn't grown all that much, and that's largely because Samsung also has its Note phablet, which is very nice, and beyond that, it has the 10.1 tablet, which I just started playing. I'm playing with a Verizon version. You know, really beautiful tablet. So Samsung has all the various size categories locked down.
So another recent flagship phone announcement is the HTC One. Julio, have you had a chance to take a look at that? I'm seeing some reviews being posted on other blogs.
I haven't, but if hypothetically I were in the market for an Android phone, you know, based on what I've learned so far, I'd almost overwhelmingly go for that phone over the Samsung. Again, back to that whole metal body thing, which I think is nice. And HTC, even though it's a little bit of an underdog in the Android market, is doing some really, really nice. I like HTC's designs very much.
And it wouldn't be complete without an Apple rumor to kind of cap off the mobile phone segment here. So what do we all make of this low-cost budget iPhone that's going to be basically the same as an iPhone 5 but in some sort of cheap plastic case?
Well, it doesn't sound like it's a cheap plastic case, though. And this is the Apple Insider post you're talking about, which is based on some securities guy who I assume is based in China. KGI Securities. It sounds like, from what he's saying, is the case will be fiber reinforced, so it won't be, you know, just a cheap plastic case. And so the fact it's that it's going to come in colors too is, you know, we're getting into the, you know, the iPod Touch fifth gen kind of a situation here.
So it's going to be, you know, like the iPhone now with more fiber. Is that what this is going to be?
More fiber, right. Yes. Yeah. Fruit and fibre. Remember that commercial with Tim? What's his name? Yeah, that was funny. Anyway, yeah, it sounds like I thought it was still a lot of conjecture, but you read this piece and it's like, no, this they're saying this guy has a pretty good track record of knowing what's coming. And I don't know if they say when it might come, but apparently it kind of trounces the iLounge details that were published earlier this year that said it would be a 5-inch display like the iPhone 5. But this guy says no.
It's a 4-inch.
It's going to be – yep, yep.
Yeah.
So we've got a new round of rumor here, I guess.
Well, if the goal is to make a less expensive iPhone, and they have one called the iPhone 4 right now, which you can get free on contract, why wouldn't the budget version be that same 3.5-inch form factor instead of the full 4-inch of the iPhone 5? I just don't get that.
Yeah. Hmm.
Seems a little bit weird, because I would think if they're going to do a budget phone, which I'm not convinced they're going to do, but they may do it for emerging markets like China and India, I would think they would stick with the smaller form factor and just have the largest one be on their flagship phone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To me, I just don't – I don't quite understand you know, we talked a lot about branding and, you know, the brand of Apple has always been a very high quality you know, you don't buy Apple because it's cheap. You buy Apple because it's good stuff and it's designed well and it's dead sexy. But I don't quite understand this entering the – you're trying to come up with a budget iPhone. That seems counterintuitive to me as far as
It certainly your brand. Does. Yeah, it is, and it certainly is for the U.S., but, you know, maybe it isn't for other markets. And is it conceivable they could introduce it only for other markets? Yeah. I don't know that they've ever done that before, but...
No, they really haven't.
I think we're probably misinterpreting something or missing a key piece of information. And what I think is happening is... exactly what Apple has done in the past with its other, with, you know, specifically its iPods, which is there was the one iPod at one point, but then over time Apple diversified the line and came up with, you know, various choices all along the iPod line, you know, different sizes, different colors, different capabilities, and I would be very surprised if Apple didn't move in that direction, and I have a hunch, you know, this is the first step in that direction.
Hmm. Yep, that's an interesting concept to look at what they did with the iPod line, and man, did they turn that into a cash cow, you know, for many years. And of course, it's declining now as a percentage of the total by a long shot. But you know, they learned something from that, and it would not surprise me that they carry that strategy forward with the iPhone.
And not to bring down the conversation to a bummer, but Google Reader was announced that they're going to stop in July of this year, which, you know, Julio, you wrote about. And I use, like you do, I use Google Reader every day. And it's an integral part of my workflow. So this was, I guess, not surprising, but very disappointing news.
Yeah, every so often I kick the tires on other web-based news readers, and I did that again when this news came out. And Google Reader there's nothing even close to it in terms of you know, elegance and ease of use, and so very, very disappointed. But there's a lot of there have been a number of announcements about people saying that they're going to come up with alternatives. And I hope they come through, because what is available right now is not very promising.
Well, I switched over to Feedly, and I find it to be pretty good, especially their mobile app. Their Android mobile app is actually quite good, and I prefer it to the mobile app that Google has for Reader. But, you know, I agree. It's not exactly the same, but I think the bigger question is other – free web services. Are we just going to see this as a trend where stuff that we use and depend on gets, you know, discontinued at some point because we're not paying for it?
I was thinking about Google Voice. I just, it dawned on me that Google has done basically nothing with Google Voice. Its iPhone app is terrible. Hasn't seen any improvements for a very long time. My blood, as I said on Twitter, my blood literally ran cold when I realized, you know, Google Voice conceivably could be the next target.
Yep. Yeah. Farhan Manju's piece in Slate, I thought was really good about why did Google Reader die, and, you know, and I'm with him. I mean, I haven't really used it in a long time, and, you know, he's very clear how he really doesn't like RSS readers and hasn't used them for a long time because he likes the, you know, the design of the web and not just this text-heavy interface. So I'm wondering, I mean, it sounds like the Google Reader crowd that's bemoaning this is mainly journalists and extreme geeks and RSS, you know, propeller
RSS,
heads.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, people like Julio and I. I mean,
but the masses, I mean, you know, I mean, ever since Flipboard and Zeit came out, I've hardly even looked at Google Reader. I love them. I love the visual, delight of going into those. And they learn as you go along, and particularly Zeit seems to do that very well. Although I like the looks of Flipboard a lot better, and I look at News 360 sometimes. I really don't look at Pulse that much, although that just got acquired. Did you see that?
Yeah, I think LinkedIn bought them.
Yeah, and so there are a number of alternatives out there, and the story that I found interesting is that Zeit went and claimed they built their own, Google Reader in 6 hours and put something out there, and says they'll have to keep improving on it. But it's like they're trying to appease or jump on the market opportunity. And of course, Zeit got acquired by CNN some time ago. They sold out way too cheap, I think. But you know what the most interesting thing about Zeit that I read probably a week or two ago is the CEO is a pothead.
Really?
I kid you not. Well, and he's not CEO anymore. I mean, they got acquired. But the founder, yeah, he wrote about how didn't you see that piece about how Silicon Valley is, there's a lot of pot that goes on in Silicon Valley, and a lot of people think, it should be legalized, and they use it. Apparently, they use it legally, and so I thought, no wonder Zeit is so good.
No, right, as short as attention span, right?
I don't know, but that was kind of out of left field that this guy comes out and says, yeah, I smoke pot, so what? Yeah.
Well, it's gotten to the point where it's I drink beer, so what? Yeah, so
yeah,
it's,
right, yeah, especially in Colorado and Washington State, I guess.
Where. So. Well, Steve's not here with us this week, so we don't have a security update, but we're going to start a new...
You realize that if we don't have Steve's security updates, we could all be hacked tomorrow.
We could be. Oh, but we're going to starting this week, a new weekly kind of thing that we're going to call Phil and his Pebble. So we're going to hear about Phil and his Pebble watch, and if he's still feeling like he made the right decision.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I made the right decision. It's just, the investment was moderately inexpensive for, a new piece of technology. And it's fun. One of the things that I noted this week was a teardown of the Pebble watch and people raving about how much is in the guts of this thing, along with a whole buttload of glue to keep it waterproof. But this week... my Pebble sort of started acting up in the fact that I wasn't getting my Gmail updates. Couldn't quite figure that out, so I kind of fiddled around with it to try and kind of walked away and said, I'll work on it some other time. Well, suddenly my Gmail updates were working again. So there's still some bugs. No new apps, which is disappointing. I keep waiting.
Well, did you see that that notifier app that I sent you?
Yeah, I've tried that. Yep, I've done that. And again, that's just a matter of how much volume of stuff do you want coming, vibrating on your wrist. Yeah, I've used that. But that's it as far as the Android store goes, the Android Play, as far as I can see, was Notifier and the actual Pebble app itself. Now, there is a new firmware update coming down the pike that kind of rearranges the settings screen. I don't know what kind of impact that'll have. They're releasing an SDK for watch faces, which is all well and good, but how many watch faces does one guy need? I'm looking for some other utility. I don't know what that is. I haven't said, I sure wish this thing did this other than a volume control for the music controller, but that's about it.
I got a question for you. Have you seen this Basis watch? That's, I guess, $199. That's much more of a health related, sort of the quantified self play on a wristwatch, but with unique angles on it that others aren't doing. I'm going to be mentioning that in an upcoming post because there's a local connect. Well, sort of a semi local. Connection to the Basis watch, which just raised a big round of venture capital, or I don't know how big it was, but a couple of key backers came into it, including Esther Dyson, who's a leading angel. So yeah, the Basis watch is yet another one out there, a choice for consumers, although it's much more a high end, you know, almost a professional type of choice that, you know, doctors and healthcare, you know, kind of people would. I mean, apparently it actually has a way of accurately tracking heart rate from your wrist, which isn't an easy thing to do, I guess. So anyway, so I'd throw that out there.
I think that we're going to see a lot more of this kind of smart watch or wearable computing kind of stuff coming down the pike here this year.
Yep. So is that, was that a wrap up on the first Phil and his Pebble week
Phil
three?
Week three, feature? Yeah, that is. So. We'll have to come up with a sweeper so we can.
You know,
Bing.
So we're getting down to the end of our time. So Phil, what's coming up here in the month of March, especially in the mobile space?
In the mobile space. Mobile March is set for Thursday, March 21st. We are sold out officially. However, you know, with the problem with being, you know, saying you're sold out, there are always tickets that sort of become available, you know, when sponsors don't use their full allotment or whatever. So kind of keep your eye on the Mobile March site if you're anxious to go and didn't make it, weren't able to get tickets. Just sort of keep a look at, we kind of release them in dribs and drabs. But we are going to have a good event, a full event. We're looking forward to a keynote from Bob Shakai from Thomson Reuters, head of Global Mobile, and all sorts of good stuff. So hopefully you have tickets and you can make it out. But are you guys are planning on being there, I trust.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And Julio, you're going to join us? I think I sent you a press pass ticket, did I not?
I believe you did. I'm on vacation that week, so I'm going to play it by ear.
I can't think of a better place to spend a vacation than the Earl Brown Heritage Center.
Yep. No, hanging around with you, Phil, is work. So when I'm on vacation.
Zing. Oh, boy.
I tell you, there's a you know, Embassy Suites right there. It could be a whole, you know, start of a long, nice little weekend, man.
Probably have an indoor pool.
You know, we'd love to have you if you could make it. So
yeah, thanks.
How many people will you have, Phil? What's the estimate?
Well, we're capped at 280. So wow. Because yeah. we like to, you know, keep it small, but and the space allows for that, and we're looking forward to it. Again, this is the first time we've been in this space, so
yep, it's a good nice spot.
So mini bars coming up the 6th of April.
Have tickets been put out for that yet? I haven't seen
it. I have not seen it, but they have put out the call for speakers.
Oh, okay. They've not only done that, but a zillion have come in and are already listed, and we can put that in the show notes. Have you guys looked at them yet? There's a long list of speaker submissions that have already happened. But they are running very late this year, and people are sort of a little, you know, miffed about that it's going to be such a tight turn here, but they should be posting the final agenda. Well, that might be the last thing they do, but they'll be posting the ticket, or you know, allowing registration to happen in batches, I guess. Seems like they do that in at least three batches, don't they? And the only way to guarantee getting a spot is become a community sponsor for $100 a year, which I and a lot of my friends just did that, so we don't have to, you know, try to race to get tickets when they release them, because they go like bam, you know.
Yep. So we'll have all those links in the show notes. The spring conference from the High Tech Association is April 30th at the Convention Center. Mm-hmm. And the I.O. Festival on the June 5th through 8th at the Walker. Of course, that's been sold out. And did you get your press pass for that, Graham?
No, my email still hasn't been answered. Oh. It's been hanging out there for probably 4 to 5 weeks, so... I don't know. When does a guy give up on an email?
Like, I don't know. So do you cover that one, Julio?
Cover which one?
The I.O. Festival that's coming up at the Walker in June?
I've been thinking about it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Cause it's...
But it might not be me. It might be somebody on our features desk that would cover that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, that wraps it up this week. Thanks for coming on, Julio.
Oh, no problem.
So we'll see you all next week on
the Minivate Gang podcast.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Good one, guys.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for nothing. I should have known. I locked my windows and unplugged the phone. Hey, thanks for nothing, for all the lies you told. Trying to make your tarnished self shine like gold. Viper's nest, trying to mine more venom, 'cause that's what you do best. Hey, thanks for nothing. I hope my lesson's learned. When you dance with devils, she'll get burned. Thanks for nothing. Yes, I played the fool. Someday I might call you out for that final tune. I can see you grinning down in the viper's nest, trying to mine more venom, 'cause that's what you do best. Hey, thanks for nothing. I'm not really hurt. You just get more filthy. Rolling in the dark.